And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. Gangbusters.
Tonight, the case of the Devil and the Syndicate, and how two desperate gangs of criminals fought a bloody battle that lasted years for the largest prize in the annals of crime.
Gangbusters has asked the Honorable Matthias H. Heck, prosecuting attorney, Dayton, Ohio, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
The inside facts in the case of the Devil and the Syndicate.
Mr. Heck, I know that the Gangbusters audience is going to hear some familiar names in tonight's case.
They certainly are, Don Gardner. Names that were in every newspaper every day for years. But right now, they're just names. The major characters are all dead, or in prison with sentences they'll never live to serve.
Well, supposing you begin, Mr. Heck.
All right, Don. The closing events in the case occurred just a few months ago. But to understand these men, we should go back more than 24 years. One bright spring morning in Chicago, a young man crossed North State Street in front of the Holy Name Cathedral. As he approached the other side, he saw the florist shop for which he was looking. He stopped for a moment to glance at a wedding wreath in the window. Then he walked toward the door.
Well, here goes.
Yes, sir? Can I help you?
Yeah. First, you can give me one of them carnations.
Yes, sir. They're very pretty. One of these?
No, one of the red ones. I like red.
Yes, sir. Shall I pin it in your lapel?
Yeah, why not? What do you do after you get through here?
I go to night school to learn jiu-jitsu.
No kidding.
There you are.
How much?
25 cents.
Cheap enough. Catch.
Thank you. Call again.
Go on and back and tell your boss I want to see him.
My boss?
O'Banion. Tell him George is here.
Do you have an appointment?
Who needs an appointment?
Who is it, Lillian?
Well,
are you O'Banion?
That depends who you are.
The name is Moran. George Moran.
Lillian, run down the corner and get me the evening paper.
Yes, sir, right away. I'll be right back.
Cute trick.
She's like the flower business, Moran. A front. So hands off.
Okay.
That recommendation from Rossi rated you pretty high.
We got along. Good as anybody can get along in Joliet.
Things have changed since you went in, Moran.
So I hear.
They got a law now. The 18th Amendment, they call it. They want people to stop drinking. But they made a mistake. Too many people don't like that law. When there's a law people don't like, somebody's bound to make a fortune out of it.
We even had bootleggers in Joliet.
Come on in back. I want you to meet one of my friends.
Yeah, sure.
He's one of my vice presidents. You'll be another.
A wife.
I want you to meet George Moran. Earl Weiss.
Ways to meet you, Bugs.
The name ain't Bugs. It's George.
Okay, no harm, man. I just heard they called you Bugs.
Nobody calls me Bugs. Never.
Take it easy, George. We don't go for rough stuff. And we don't go for rough talk unless it's called for.
Okay.
I said things were changing. We're in business. We're legit, practically.
Just tell me what I do and when I start doing it.
You'll have plenty to do.
We're organizing the whole North Side. Every drop of booze and every mug of beer that's sold on the North Side will be ours.
That's all right with me. But suppose some other guys get different ideas.
That's one of the reasons I'm putting you on the payroll, Moran.
Don't worry. Nobody will muscle in.
Hey, muscle in. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I'll have to remember that. Not bad.
It's like this, Moran. There's a bunch over on the west side and the south side doing the same thing we are. So long as they stay there and don't muscle in, nobody will get hurt.
And it's working out okay. I've got an agreement with the guy that runs things, Johnny Torrio.
Sounds as easy as selling flowers.
I don't know. That Torrio may be all right, but he just brought a guy in from Brooklyn, a bad actor.
Yeah? I know a lot of guys from Brooklyn. Who is he?
What's his name, boss?
Al something or other.
Yeah, that's it. Al Capone.
So, Don, the Chicago gangs grew stronger as each of them strained to expand beyond the limits of the agreed territories. For 3 years, no gang leader would make the first move because he could foresee the violence that would follow. Then one day, Bugs Moran had an urgent summons from the operator of a speakeasy on the north side. He walked into the smoke-filled place and saw the operator sitting at the bar.
Hello, Patsy.
Oh, Moran. Sit down.
Yeah.
Harry, straight bourbon for Mr. Moran.
Okay.
Well, what's your trouble?
Maybe it's your trouble, Moran.
What do you mean?
Just put the bottle down, Harry. Go take care of them customers down there.
All right.
Don't talk in riddles, Patsy.
Pour yourself a drink.
Thanks. Luck.
Good stuff, huh?
Come on, Patsy. I didn't come over here to drink your booze. What's the trouble?
You just drank it.
Now, look.
Take a squint at that bottle.
Hey, where'd you get that stuff?
I bought it.
You'll get in trouble, Patsy, making buys from outside.
They backed the truck up here, Moran. They unloaded 40 cases. They said take the stuff or take a dose of lead. I took the stuff. Ain't bad, is it?
Who was it?
How should I know? Three gorillas with a look in their eye.
You pulling a fast one, Patsy?
Me? I buy your rot gut and pay you good for peace and quiet. I pay you to keep guys like that off my neck.
They'll be off your neck, Patsy. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
So long. And thanks for the drink.
Don't mention it.
You got too hot a temper, Moran. I said this is business. No rough stuff unless it's called for.
Those monkeys won't understand nothing except rough stuff, O'Banion. First it's one joint, then it's another. Then they'll be all over the north side.
It's a mistake.
Johnny Torrio, don't make mistakes. Where's Weiss, anyway?
I told him the meeting was off. It's all settled.
Settled? How?
I put in a call for Johnny Torrio. He's going to get it straightened out and call me back.
Yeah? Well, if you...
Maybe that's him.
Yeah, and maybe it ain't.
Just do your job, Moran. I'll handle this. Hello?
O'Banion?
Yep. Who is it?
Johnny Torrio asked me to call. This is Al Capone.
Oh, there's Al. You checked up on that deal?
Yeah, and as far as we know, it wasn't our boys that made the sale.
Oh?
We don't like that kind of business either, O'Banion. We want to put a stop to it as much as you.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Johnny Torrio said get the details. He said work with O'Banion.
It's a deal, Capone.
Suppose I send a couple of boys around tonight to see you.
Make it tomorrow, Capone, at the flower shop.
Yeah, at the flower shop. They'll be there.
Lillian. Lillian?
Yes, Mr. O'Banion.
Call Mr. Moran.
Yes, sir, I'll...
Oh, and Lillian.
Yes, sir?
First, bring me that bird seed. Kankakee's hungry. Aren't you, Kankakee? Hmm?
Here.
See?
Oh, here comes some customers.
Yes.
I'll wait on them first.
They're not customers. Just some gentlemen I'm expecting. Go in back. Make that call to Moran.
Yes, sir. I'll do it right now.
Oh. Come in, boys. Come in.
Hello, Banyan. We're from Al Capone.
Glad to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how are we going to straighten out this mess?
Capone says it's easy.
Then let's get to it.
Sure, O'Banion. Let's get to it.
Hey, what's the idea of the guns?
So long, pal. Come on, let's get out of here.
Thus, Don, the two leading gangs of Chicago's racketeers declared war on each other. A gang war that lasted many years. And bloodshed mounted with the months.
Now, back to Gangbusters. You've told us, Mr. Heck, how gang war flared up in Chicago after the Johnny Torrio Al Capone syndicate sought to invade the North Side and murdered gang leader Diana Banyan.
Yes, Don, and the story of the killing was the news sensation of the day. O'Banion's principal lieutenants, Earl Little Jaime Weiss and George Bugs Moran, were on hand at the funeral parlor where O'Banion's body was on exhibition in a $10,000 casket surrounded by tons of gaudy floral pieces. There they planned retaliation, not so much to avenge O'Banion as to salve their own peculiar pride.
We gotta go through with it, Weiss. We gotta run Torrio and Capone into the ground.
You're wrong, Moran. Nobody can make out if we spend our time killing each other. We're in it for dough. That's the way O'Banion wanted it.
Yeah, and look where O'Banion is. You don't want to sit around and let Capone and Torrio give you the same kind of going over, do you?
Maybe we could get the whole thing settled.
Oh, settled. You talk like a maniac. There's only one way it's going to be settled. That's when we get the whole town.
I don't know. I was just figuring...
Quiet, here's only...
Mr. Weiss, can I see you a minute?
What's the matter, Lillian?
Well, another floral piece just arrived, and
Well, have him bring it in.
But there isn't room for any more flowers. Besides, this is bigger than anything in here. It's huge.
Who sent it?
I don't know. I didn't open the card.
Come on, Moran. Let's have a look.
Yeah, sure.
Where are these posies?
Out in the anteroom. This way.
They gotta be brought into line, Weiss. That's the only way.
We'll see.
Right in here. There it is.
What for crying out loud? Who spent all that dough?
It's pretty, huh?
Oh, it's hideous.
Where's the card?
This must be it.
How many men did it take to carry it in? Five? Well, who's it from, Moran?
Here. Read it yourself.
Sure. Rest in peace, Johnny Torrio and Al Capone.
A dirty, rotten...
You're right, Moran. They need a lesson. Put me at those wheels.
No, don't.
Boys,
don't.
Yeah, let me...
Don't get worse, though.
Who cares how much...
Soon, Don, George Bugs Moran and Earl Little Jaime Weiss sought and got revenge on gangster Johnny Torrio. Thus, the notorious Al Capone came into command. The war between the two factions continued, with one or two gangsters losing their lives every week. Finally, Little Jaime Weiss got his, and Bugs Moran became undisputed head of the North Side mobsters. But the pyramid of gang murders didn't help, and both sides knew it. So it was arranged one day that Bugs Moran walk alone and unarmed down a long hotel corridor toward a room at the end. As he walked, he looked carefully at each closed door he passed. Then, on reaching the end of the corridor, he stopped and opened the door.
Come in, Moran. Sit down. Make yourself at home.
Thanks, Capone.
Well, are you ready?
Yeah, Capone. I'm ready.
It's about time we figured we weren't doing ourselves good.
What are your terms?
We split up the city and county. You stay on your side, I stay on mine.
Whose side begins where?
We go back to the old territories, the one set up by Johnny Torrio and Diane O'Banion.
It's a deal.
And the deal covers everything. The booze, the beer, the dogs, the ladies.
Everything, Capone.
Okay. We'll shake on it.
I can still remember Diane O'Banion went to shake hands. He got led.
We shake, or there's no deal.
I can take the deal or leave it, Capone.
You're acting pretty dumb for a smart cookie, Moran.
Guy can afford to be dumb if he's lucky.
Well, that's the way you want it, Moran.
Put it here, Al.
That's more like it. We'll show them how to run a town.
Got no doubt about us running the town, Al. Let's just keep from trying to run each other.
Hello, Moran. How are you?
Hello, Betsy.
You remember that guy I was telling you about?
Guy? What guy?
Guy with the idea.
With the idea? Oh, yeah.
I got him back in my office.
Well, let's go see him.
I think it'll work, Moran. Ought to be good for plenty each month.
What'd you say this guy's name was?
Joe Ruggieri.
Okay, open up.
Hello, Joe. I want you to know George Moran.
Glad to see you.
Patsy tells me you got a new grift.
Yeah. If you go for it, Moran, do I get a spot?
Sure. I get a million spots. Come on, hurry up, though. I gotta meet a girl outside.
Well, the idea is this. There's lots of little guys in business. Big ones, too.
Yes, I know.
They got all kinds of stores. So we form all kinds of organizations. All the cleaners in one association, all the laundries in another. Follow me?
Yeah, go on.
So before we start these associations, a cleaner here, a cleaner there is going to have trouble. A brick through his window, a stink bomb, maybe? So they join the association to protect their business.
And?
And they get protection. Without joining the organization, they get no protection.
Good stiff dues.
Right. Good stiff dues. To us. Well, what do you think of it?
It stinks.
But it's a cinch.
I said it stinks. Go on, get out.
George.
It'll work. It'll make millions.
I said get out. Now hit the ties, you crumb bun.
Okay.
It was just an idea. So long.
What was the idea, Moran? That guy had something.
Didn't he?
Sure. Be a cinch to operate. You got the strong arm boys, that's all you need.
I know it. You try it out first in the cleaning shops.
Hey, you told Joe you didn't go for the idea.
Sure, why should I cut him into the deal, a stranger?
Yeah, why should you?
Boy, I can see this thing spreading all over the city. Maybe farther, maybe to New York.
Yeah? What about Capone?
Well, what about him?
Capone ain't gonna like it.
Glad I'm not like it. There's been peace and quiet too long. I'm sick of it. Come on. Hello?
Moran?
Yeah?
Al Capone. How's it going?
No complaints, Al.
Well, I got a complaint.
Have you?
Yeah. That protection racket of yours is a pretty good idea, Moran.
Yeah. I like it.
But it's covering too much ground.
It'll cover more ground, Al. Nothing like it was included in the agreement.
Well, that's the way you want it.
It is.
Okay, Moran. Be seeing you.
That dawn was the beginning of another flare-up between Chicago's rival gangs. And the direct result was the most sensational and blood-curdling event to arise out of the long history of Chicago's mobsterism.
You were telling us, Mr. Heck, that gang war between the Al Capone and Bugs Moran mobs broke out all over again.
That's right, Don. There were many killings on both sides. With the feud at its height, Bugs Moran called a meeting of a dozen of his henchmen at the garage on North Clark Street he sometimes used as headquarters. By a little after 10 in the morning, 8 of his lieutenants had arrived.
So what, Moran? So they're a little bit late.
When I tell guys to be here, I mean it. Now, will you monkeys keep quiet? How can anybody think?
Okay, boys, don't get excited.
Now, just keep it quiet.
They'll be along in a minute. What do you say we get some coffee?
Coffee.
Come on, you can relax.
All right, Patsy, I guess I can stand some relaxing, too.
Well, you knew what was going to happen. You knew Capone wouldn't sit still.
Okay, I heard all about it and I want to hear.
Let's get out the side door and cut through the alley, it's shorter.
Anyways, all right. You guys stick here, I'll be right back.
Are you going out to buy me a present, boss?
A present, huh? Yeah, I'll give you a present.
But, boss, it's Valentine's Day.
Oh, Valentine's Day, huh? I'll get busy here. You think it's the 4th of July. Come on, Patsy. Let's go.
You ought to take it easy, Moran. You'll get Capone in the end.
Just take me to that coffee.
Sure. Maybe you could get the old agreement working again.
I don't want to hear no more about it. Take a look around before we hit the sidewalk.
Yeah. No, there's nothing. Hey.
What?
Cops.
Huh?
Just pulled up in front of the garage.
Get close to the wall. You haven't got enough trouble now, cops.
All right, let's go.
With machine guns.
Come on.
Hey, those aren't cops. They're Capone guys.
Okay, get inside. Let's do a good job.
What do you say, boys? Let's go get them.
No, stick where you are.
We ought to warn the guys.
There's seven of them left in there. They can take care of themselves.
Not against machine guns. Besides, they think they're cops.
Stick here, I said.
It's like a slaughterhouse, boss. Yeah. Come on, let's go after Moran. We get a couple of them anyway.
Oh.
We can shoot them.
Oh, let's get out of here.
But Moran.
Come on, let's move fast. Yeah? What is it?
He's outside, George.
What's his name?
Foster. Bill Foster.
Bill Foster. All right. Bring him in.
Yes, George.
And Lillian.
Yes?
Leave the blindfold on.
Sure, George. All right. Come on in.
Better help me through the door, miss.
I'll help you. Right through here.
Come in, Foster.
You Moran?
Go on out, honey. Leave us alone.
Sure, George. I'll be right outside.
Hey, how about let me take the blindfold off?
Not on your life, brother. What paper are you with, anyway?
The American? Who was it, Moran? Who shot up the garage? Who killed those seven guys?
Only Capone's gang kills like that.
And you lost a lot of talent. You gonna do anything about it?
If I was, I wouldn't tell it to a newspaper.
But you're not?
I made up my mind to quit Chicago.
Leave it all to Capone?
I didn't say I was yellow, and don't you print it.
Where are you going?
Just say I made up my mind to retire. I've been thinking about it a long time, and I just now made up my mind. But don't say I'm quitting because I'm scared of Capone.
Because you're not, huh?
Between you and me, Foster, I am. I know when I'm cooked. Capone's cooked, too, but he don't know it. It won't be me or anybody like me that gets him. But he'll be got. You'll remember that.
So, Don, George Bugs Moran foresaw the end of gang rule in Chicago. And it was not many months after he fled Capone's vengeance that the notorious gang leader was arrested by United States Treasury agents under the great Elmer L. Irie, and subsequently sentenced to a long term on Alcatraz.
But what about Bugs Moran, Mr. Heck?
Well, Don Moran remained in retirement until just a few months ago. But the time came when he once more thought he could make a killing. This time for $1 million.
Then you'll be back next week to give us another episode in the fantastic criminal life of George Bugs Moran?
I certainly will, Don.
Well, thank you, Prosecuting Attorney Matthias H. Heck of Dayton, Ohio. We'll all be looking forward to next week's case.